today on Real Radio.
If you look at the environment and you say, wow, it's spectacular, it's awesome, and it's worthy of our protection, I want you to think one more thought beyond that. Who made it? Because you cannot be an evolutionist and be an environmentalist, in my opinion. It's not possible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Pastor Jack continues his Worldview Series by asking, what is environmentalism? This emotionally charged topic expands the globe and turning itself into both a political and economical firestorm, but is it a spiritual issue? How should the believer respond? Listen now as Pastor Jack begins this controversial subject, taking us back to Genesis chapter 1 and how the Creator spoke life into His creation. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Genesis chapter 1, here's our foundation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Underline, God created. Genesis 1, look at verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its genus, its kind, its code, whose seed is in itself, self-replicating, awesome, engineering, on the earth, and it was so. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. That is not the stars, that is the atmosphere, the oxygenated atmosphere where birds would fly. Verse 21, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, this is key, let us, interesting, huh? Who's he talking to? He's not talking to angels. We know that for a fact. Let us make man in our image, in our moral likeness. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, underline all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So verse 27, God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, notice this, listen, male and female, he created them. It's the only moment where man, come, not the male man, but a male comes first by the creation of God. Then the female comes out of man, only one time only, out of the side, through the amazing code, the DNA of Adam, coming out of his side. And then from that moment on, Adam calls her Eve, because from her, all of us would come. And the Bible says exactly how hematology, biology, chemistry, anthropology backs that statement up to this very day. It is awesome to realize. And you heard it over and over again. God said, I will make this after its own kind. It will replicate the engineering of God, the brilliance of God. And just to make people scratch their heads who don't want to believe him, God creates even a platypus. When's the last time you saw a platypus? You know what I'm talking about? People don't like to even put those in books anymore because it freaks evolutionists out. You got a beaver thing with a duck bill. He's got front feet and he's got a webbed back legs. It's an absolute mess that nobody can figure out where it came from. God, I think God just said, let's put this one in a blender and see what comes out. and amazing stuff. The engineering of God, the brilliance of God is everywhere. And when the Bible says God created, this is that Hebrew word bara, and it means absolute creation. This is an amazing word, people. That one word attacks the evolutionary theory because God brought things out of nowhere and made them exist. He didn't take something and brought it, bring it, nurture it, shape it along in time. He didn't say something and then it evolved over a billion years and then it was, and then he said, okay, now it's good. He brought stuff from nowhere into something. God didn't have a shopping cart of stuff and then throw it out into space. He spoke it and it came into existence. He created from nothing all that there is. This, just think of that for a minute. You and I, in our most creative best, can only create using things that already exist. The closest thing that we can do to be like God in creation is to have an imaginative, creative thought. Once that thing is in our mind, we have to use existing things to make it a reality. Not God. He says, I want Jupiter. Boom! And it's there. He's amazing. And immediately we're faced with the question about this issue of environmentalism and environmentalists. Now, let me be very careful and very loving. I get excited about these topics, so I'm not angry at you. Somebody said, you're always yelling all the time. I'm not mad at anybody. I just get very excited about these things because I love this stuff, and I love to know things, and I love to know, honestly, I want to make sure that in my own life that I'm on the right track. I don't want to be on my track. I want to be on God's track. I don't want to ever be on my track. But when we talk about environmentalists, let me make this very clear. Environmentalists are not necessarily mean, brutal, ignorant, goofball, strange people. We see the CNN version of environmentalist often. An environmentalist is a person, as we'll see more, that's very concerned about the environment, in a sense, almost obsessed with the environment. And in giving them the benefit of the doubt, they see that from the environment is derived our existence. I understand that, and I don't disagree with that. But where we disagree with the rational environmentalist is the origin of it all, the management of it all, and the end of it all. It is our doctrine. It is our worldview. You tonight may be here with what is called a secular environmentalist worldview. Most of us tonight, I mean, I'm in a church right now, so I'm guessing that most of us tonight come from a Christian or a, better yet, biblical worldview. And those are the two arguments. This camp may vary in definitions and representations and people who have certain views, but the other group is the biblical worldview. Which one's right? Which one's true? What does the evidence in science display? That's all important. It's necessary. And so, when we look at this, keep a few things in mind. When it comes to environmentalism, is it a political issue? Is it a moral issue? Or is it a spiritual issue? Which one is it? All of them, isn't it? All of them. The very argument is in all camps important. You are in a campaign year. Environmentalism will come up in the campaign among the candidates. It will be discussed. They will speak about it. People will vote based upon it. Is it a moral issue? Oh, yes, in the weeks ahead, you will see how much of a moral issue it really is. And is it a spiritual issue? The Bible, I just read a few verses where it's absolutely a spiritual issue because you either believe that God created it or you believe it evolved. Unfortunately, there is a rising group of people in modern evangelicalism that they don't believe either one much. They they do believe that God created it, but he is unable to sustain it. He made, this is huge in churches across America. He made it, but it's gotten out of hand, and he can't take care of what he has made. I simply call that your little God religion. You call yourself a Christian, you read the Bible, but your worldview has been so tainted by the doctrines of this age. You have got a God that you believe in, but he can't sustain or maintain the created universe, especially earth, that he has made. And some of you are looking at me like you're constipated. And I'm telling you, you need to go visit a college campus. Because you've got people saying, I'm a Christian, but if we don't save the earth, it's all going to come to pieces and be destroyed. And you, listen, only emotionally can you reconcile those two views. You cannot reconcile those two views logically or scientifically or religiously. It's emotionally based theology, and the issues are driving more of your belief than the biblical mandate of Scripture. Are you with me now, everybody? We just read that God created, God said, God gave, God ordained these things to be so. Church, do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? How big, my question to you then is, how big is your God? If he is the God of the Bible, he knows how to manage the earth. And this is going to be a lot of fun, I think. The topic and the issue of the environment is one that will not go away, and it's not intended to go away. It's only going to increase. Number one, as I said, it's an election issue. Number two, it's a policy issue. Number three, it's an economic issue. Number four, it's a social issue. Number five, it's a global issue. And as I mentioned earlier, number six, it is a spiritual issue. But why is the environment an issue at all? I'm just asking you the question. Listen, I really would love you to think this through all the way. Why? I'm just asking, why in the 21st century, right now, this year, why is it an issue at all? Why has it been an issue, the environment? Why? Where does it come from, this interest, this concern? Let me say this from the start before any more people get up and leave. You see this land you're sitting on right here? Okay, this is 13 acres. If you lived in the area 8 years ago or 9 years ago, now I forget. If you drove by this place, this was a barren, flat piece of dirt. In fact, when the winds would blow, it would blow dust all over the place. Barren. There was not a bush. There was not a tree. We say, where are you going with this? Just hang on. If you think for a moment that I or Christians are anti-environment, you need to hear this. These 13 acres were barren. To have church here, it was required by the state. We had to pay for a state biologist to fly down here from Sacramento. I kid you not. And that biologist sat in a lawn chair 8 hours a day for a week and a half as he looked and observed and looked for any burrowing owls or the Hall's Vireo bird. And then he signed off on property that we owned, you owned. Then he signed off and said, okay, they can build. And then the state said, okay, this is how you will build. You will have 400 or 300 and some odd trees and 1,000 some odd bushes and shrubs. And you comply with that. Why? Because we rendered unto Caesar the things that Caesar wanted so we can preach the word of God because he wants you. Render to God the things that are God's, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And so we paid nearly $1 million for all of the stuff that we had to do to meet the environmental demands. You paid it. Me, you, us together. When you flush these toilets, when the rainwater runs off of these driveways into the drains, just from the parking lot, from your car, you should see how much money and the amazing devices under this ground required by the state of California that scrubs that water before it ever goes out into the creek bed behind us or wherever it goes. I don't know where it goes. I'm not knocking it. That may be even really good creation care of the environment. We didn't protest having to spend all that kind of money. But let me tell you this. On these 13 acres, there are more trees now, and it is more of an environmental blessing now than it was when it was left barren. Did you hear what I said? This flies in the face of much of what environmentalists declare. They preach an untouched earth doctrine. And yet I can tell you right now, there are hundreds of wild birds now that have made this place their living space. In fact, you have all kinds of doves and pigeons that now have moved here. And to just complete the circle of life, just come out here in the middle of the day and watch how many hawks fly by and kill the doves and pigeons and eat them. And then at night, in the middle of the night, coyotes come by, run down the courtyard, and eat the wild cats that are coming out. It's an amazing ecological system that now is working here that previously did not exist, and we're all for that. I believe that Christians should be the best custodians of the earth because our God made it. I really believe that. And so we have been. So to speak on or to address this issue of environmentalism or ecology or the environment. Listen, you must confess that God is the designer if you put some thinking to this. Because listen, please hear me out on this. This is all an introduction to where we're going. If you would say, I am an environmentalist, then I would like to introduce you, if you don't know, I'd like to introduce you to the creator of all the wonderful things that you see and that you appreciate. If you're an environmentalist, you love how amazing whales are. And I think whales are awesome. I love them. They're fantastic. What's cool about it is the whale, if that whale could talk, that whale would say, you know, yeah, to meet my maker. If you think these fins are cool and how they work, you should see the God who made these fins. If an animal could talk, it would probably tell us about the amazing engineering abilities of our great God. If you look at the environment and you say, wow, it's spectacular, it's awesome, and it's worthy of our protection, I want you to think one more thought beyond that. Who made it? Because you cannot be an evolutionist and be an environmentalist, in my opinion. It's not possible. Because if you are a true fundamental environmentalist, an evolutionist, you're going to have a problem. Because evolutionism, the evolutionary theory is, it's the survival of the fittest. And so only the fittest can survive. That which is reproduces survives. That which is going upward and onward survives. That which is weak is to be eliminated or destroyed. And a pure evolutionist would not be concerned because the evolutionist believes that everything is an accident, it is a moving accident, it is in a state of chaos, and whatever it does, it somehow, remember in Jurassic Park, Jeff Goldblum says, life will find a way. That's the evolutionary mantra. The mantra of the evolutionist is life will find a way. In environmentalism, you are really actually in awe of what God has made, and you're being tempted to worship what God has made rather than the maker, God himself. And we'll talk about that. It's very important. Genesis chapter 1, verse 10 says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields its seed. We read that earlier, according to its kind, down verse 12 at the end. He talks about the fruit trees yielding its fruit after its own kind. And God saw that it was good. He's the designer. He's the engineer of it. He separated the waters and brought forth the earth. As a believer in God, we believe that he knows what he's doing. And in Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 31, the Bible says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Very good until what, church? Very good until Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the Bible says that the creation was then placed under a divine curse by God. And listen, it's not cursed by God because God was upset. It was cursed by God because of man's disobedience. Hear me out. Listen. The earth is cursed. The Bible says it's cursed. You all know it's cursed. Listen, those of you who are 30 years of age or younger, you're fine. You don't know it's cursed yet. But after, I don't know, it seemed to me when I hit 35, my body began hurting at 35 years of age. Every day I wake up, I know the earth is cursed. Things hurt. Here's the thing. God says, listen, he didn't say that it's cursed in such a way that it's destroyed. He said to Adam and Eve, it's cursed in such a way that you'll be able to farm it, but boy, is it going to be hard. And hey, Eve, oh, you're still going to have babies, but boy, is it going to hurt. Yeah, didn't he? There's just enough curse where God says, and the evidence is overwhelming because death came into the world via sin, but there's still just enough good and residual blessings from God that is amazing to me. It's amazing to me that there's any good at all, anywhere, anyhow. And the Bible says the good that is comes from God. So not all hope is lost. And it is my intention as we go through this little mini-series within a series that you think, write down your questions if you have them. Let's get them answered. But I think if you follow this through, it's going to be a pretty cool revelation. Listen, make note of this. The argument of the environmentalist is we need to go back to the natural. It sounds good. Don't you? I mean, I guess I like free-range chicken eggs. That's all my wife will buy is chicken eggs that have been laid by chickens who are free. American chickens. Red, white, and blue chickens. Look, how do I know when I crack that egg and eat it, gosh, this really tastes like a free-range chicken egg? I don't know. The carton says it's free-range. What's the point to this? It's natural. We're big on natural. Is that natural or does it have additives? We're big on that stuff. Why? Because we think natural is pure. We have to remember, we are in a fallen world. Okay, now as we go through this, listen. The argument of the environmentalist is to leave things natural or go back to them being natural. But let's remember their premise, though very sincere and zealous, is a flawed premise. Their foundation's cracked before they even build. Here's the reason why. When you as an environmentalist want to talk about what is natural, God says it's under a curse. The parts that you have are broken. You say, I don't believe you, Pastor. Yes, you do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In his first of two lessons called What is Environmentalism? A study on how to approach environmental issues through the lens of our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in this series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that takes a look at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Now, if you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and grab any episode you might have missed, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Also, you know, this news cycle that we're going through is, it's constantly political. That's the bottom line. So a lot of things are going on in our country that you just don't hear about. Like, for instance, did you know that there was a huge flood in Louisiana? Really, a lot of people displaced, worse than the last couple of hurricanes that happened there. You can help by going to LouisianaHelp.com. That's LouisianaHelp.com. Now, of course, because of the election cycle, not a lot of folks heard about the recent flooding crisis in Louisiana. Go to LouisianaHelp.com to find out how you can help. It happened in and around Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and you can help. Go to LouisianaHelp.com. That's LouisianaHelp.com. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.